Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Black and a Half with my main man, my accomplice, my ace, my gangster, Silas to the motherfucking Lindenstein. I censored that out. I censored myself. That was cool.
Silas, that's me.
Yes.
I like that. You should be a ring announcer.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the ring, standing at 6 foot even, 573 pounds. Yes, he is a large man. Give it up for Silas Lindenstein.
Okay, I'm maybe not. That
yeah,
big.
Yeah, you're not that no. fat. I'm sorry. That was really rude.
I'm fat. Just yeah. not that
He's
fat.
Not fat at all.
Hey,
it's a lot of love.
Ring announcer, you know, one of our listeners, Kenny Davis?
Yes.
He just started announcing for the MMA.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he do whatchamacallit, Jimmy Sorrentino's fights?
Or no, Jimmy he did a random Jimmy Sorrentino separately.
Oh, okay.
This was like there was an ad opening for it.
Wow.
He's been going to them with Jimmy to watch his stuff, but now he just did an MMA.
Is Jimmy fighting again?
Here and there. Yeah.
Jimmy was like undefeated, but some guy just like laid on him. And well, I mean that sounds gross, but well, he did.
Well,
he didn't.
What they
yeah.
Do,
yeah, that's what
right?
they do. All right, yeah, I guess.
They
and they
them.
Say that's not a gay sport. Anyways,
yeah. Hey, we got a great episode here.
Yes,
this is the first. Yeah, this is the first. Well, it's a we have a producer of
yep.
a web series.
Yeah,
we've never had that before.
It's a very intriguing web series.
Ashley Cozen.
Cozine. Yeah.
Ashley Cozine.
Yeah.
I know her cousin.
Do you?
Her cousin.
Cousin.
Ah!
Ah!
No,
boom.
I don't.
Nailed it.
Ashley is producing a Look Up in the Sky
yes.
web series. You can check that out on YouTube.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's the
Look Up in the Sky.
Yes.
It's a suspense series.
Yeah.
They got 4 episodes out. They're dropping the next. They have 5 more.
5 more.
Already recorded. Just
yeah.
waiting to get
just
out there.
Just waiting to get out there. And we're waiting on you to actually watch it. So
up.
That, yeah. So that possibly... me and my ace over here can get cast in this thing. So
yeah, they need
sure.
some color in the show.
They do.
It's the only
they said,
thing it's lacking. It's got suspense.
Yep.
It's got intrigue. It's
I heard
got
it,
good acting.
I heard it might have actually been a Klan film originally, but they
well,
needed
no.
to. No, it wasn't. I'm just, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, we're going to have to take that out. But
it's yeah, it's a great, I saw the first 4 episodes and I'm intrigued to keep seeing where this goes. The first
yeah.
episode has about, it just released in January and
yeah.
it's got like 800 views right now.
Only 2 minutes. So
yeah.
if you have attention deficit disorder like we do, then you'll be fine watching it.
Yeah. Pass yep. it on. Share it.
Yep.
With your friends and listen to this interview. Get to know Ashley. She's a local actor.
Yep.
Doing a lot of films. Just got back up here from LA.
And New York.
And New York.
Wow.
Yeah. She's a traveler.
She is.
So
also, check. Do us a favor, go on iTunes and,
yeah. You know, if you're not a subscriber
yeah.
to Black and a Half, you should be.
Mm-hmm.
One of the methods to subscribe is iTunes. If you use that at all, please download from Black and a Half from iTunes and rate us.
Yes.
Give us a rating and, it helps other people discover Black and a Half.
Exactly.
And everyone needs Black and a Half in their life.
In their life, because, I mean, there's a lot of you out there who probably only have 2 black friends, and they are me and Silas.
Right.
So make sure that everybody else can benefit from that.
And then stay connected with us on Facebook. You can follow. Well, you can't. Yeah.
You can
like
follow
us.
Yeah, well, you know.
You'll like us.
You can,
and then you get to
you can like us,
updates.
But you can also follow what we're doing
yeah.
every
so,
week.
So Facebook.com, Black and a Half Podcast.
Yep.
Because some other fool took Black and a Half.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
Some weird group.
Yeah.
We don't even do anything.
Probably all white.
Wasted it.
Sorry.
So, Black and a Half Podcast. Look us up. And then you can, yeah, find out all the information. We have a website now, blackandahalf.com.
Yep.
Trying to keep that updated. So when we have shows, we're going to announce those there too.
Yep.
We'll probably have shows coming
yeah,
up.
Definitely. Very soon. I know, well, I mean, I guess we shouldn't be plugging. It's just the intro, huh?
Huh? No, we can plug anything.
What is Comedy Trek coming up?
Oh shoot, that's gonna be big.
It's gonna be huge.
That's gonna be huge. Comedy Trek in May.
Yes,
May 17th and 18th, 2-day festival of nerd comedy. I'm
excited.
I can't tell you how excited I am.
Yeah,
it's gonna be. We got videos that are gonna be happening on that.
Yep.
We have stand up comedy, a burlesque dancer.
Yes, burlesque
belly dancing.
Belly dancing.
There's gonna be Orion Slave Girls.
Yep.
Be green.
Orion yeah. Slave Dudes, even if you're gay and you want to, maybe not.
Maybe.
I don't know about
yeah,
Orion Slave Dudes. Okay,
yeah,
maybe not. Well, I mean, you know, girls. Yeah, we'll
yeah.
super girls. I was just, you know, for all of our other listeners, we don't want to discriminate.
It seems like a Freudian slip there,
Whatever.
Okay.
I love women. All right.
Anyway, enjoy this episode.
Yes.
Stay tuned. Black and a Half.
Black and a Half.
Stand by.
my house address. Exactly. Thanks for putting my address on the line. Just checking in. Okay, so we had started this podcast, and then power went out on my laptop and didn't record it, and my backup source, I forgot to hit record. So
did it record any of it?
No, I don't. I think it may have got some of it. I got to look at the backup files.
We laughed a lot, so audience, you missed out on everything.
Oh, my gosh. We had the winning lotto numbers tonight. Yep. I don't know if you knew that, but...
Well...
It wouldn't be out in time anyways.
I'm just sad now.
Well, that's...
work. We have...
Let's work on that.
Ashley.
Yeah.
Well, how do you pronounce your last name?
How do you think you pronounce it?
Cozine?
Yep, good.
Ashley.
That sounds like a famous name.
Yeah. Ashley Cozine.
Ashley Cozine.
Producer.
This summer.
Right? Producer, director? Yeah, producer and director? A producer
actor.
And director?
Primarily an actor.
Producer and actor for Look Up in the Sky. Mm-hmm. In the Sky. It's a new web series that... when the first episode drop?
Well, we premiered this year, so... we
January?
Have released 4 episodes. Yep.
Oh, wow.
And are 2-minute episodes. And
no, some of them are four.
2 to 3 minutes. 2 to 3 minutes. And the season finale will be a little bit longer. Okay. Next season, we'll be working on bringing the episodes into 3 to 4 minute episodes, depending on how much people like it, depending on if you want to see more of it. Yeah. So watch. It's at youtube.com/lookupseries.
Do you...
So funny to me. This is like deja vu.
I know. It's fine. What genre? Is it?
It is a suspense thriller sci-fi genre, and it's about 10 high school kids who went, or 10 kids, less than 10 kids, 10 years out of high school, some kids reuniting to stop the end of the world,
uh-huh.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you want to do that with the people that you went to high school
That's
with.
That's usually what you do.
You do.
I want the world ended with them.
So we were talking about earlier this Neo thing that just happened and just went over Russia. Well, that has a... plays a big part
That's
in our
a meteor.
Series.
Most people don't know Neo.
What did I say?
They think you said no. Neo, but most people don't know what Neo is.
Neo
actually,
near Earth event.
It's a near Earth object. And
object?
So you don't even know.
When you say
what
Neo,
it is.
I'm gonna think Matrix.
Well when, right, exactly. When we first read the script, people were like, who made that up? Like, what is that?
Right.
What's that? And then you read in the news today and you're like, oh, it's actually a thing. Yes, did something right, predicted it. Okay. But so our series follows people in the summer of 2014 and so you basically see one person, two people, three people, everybody keeps, they're picking up each person. There's a list of people that they have to reunite to, because once they all come together, mm-hmm. something extraordinary happens. Mm-hmm. And so why they have to come together is something that happened 10 years ago when they were seniors in high school. They all witnessed this almost catastrophic event and that was brought on, like they were trying, and at the same time, they were trying to get one of the girls. Oh, I don't want to give away too much. So, okay, one of the girls disappears 10 years ago. And mm-hmm. so they have to solve this mystery from 10 years ago.
We don't even know this up at episode 4, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe me telling you might help you.
That's right. You better watch that. Exactly.
See what's going on.
So, yeah. So it is, there's not a lot of information given out yet in the first season at all.
Okay. Now, is there a sci-fi element to it, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And you'll kind of see a little bit more of that at the end of episode 5.
But sci-fi isn't your thing. Like
I do like sci-fi. I do like, I think there's a big audience for sci-fi. That's as a producer, I think that, I want to do it right for all of the sci-fi fans. So, mm-hmm. But I'm friends with a lot of people who are like sci-fi fans. Like I have a lot of friends that watch like Supernatural and Battlestar Galactica, and so like to see that kind of work, like to sit and have like around the table and have movie parties, and you know, you're forced to watch anime or.
Did you ever watch that Supernatural?
Like,
no, I tried a couple times, and then I was like,
I was loving it for a while, and then I just couldn't.
So I'm trying to bring in my favorite shows were like Alias, and so you try to bring in like these favorite. I mean, we're still new, so we're not quite there yet, but like. But the Cloverfield and the sort of like the realistic like sort of like portrayal of the mm-hmm. human contact, I guess, and like the human side of things, and at the same time that like race.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for right now. And then the possible alien invasion, uh-huh. you know, like so to do it realistically was my sort of primary draw, I think.
That's awesome. So speaking of like 10-year, Silas, you just had your 40-year reunion.
20-year.
Oh, 20-year. So 20-year. Yeah. Did you go?
I didn't go because I had lost my – I was unemployed.
Ooh, okay.
And so I couldn't – I had waited too long to get the ticket.
Because that's
so,
– wait, back in Boston.
Massachusetts. Yeah. Okay, okay. So I did – we did talk on the phone. They put the phone up for me to talk to everybody.
We have a reunion here too. Do you have any classmates that are from – like this area or that live here?
No.
Do you know?
No. Everybody's in Boston?
No, everyone's in Boston. Wow. Or elsewhere. Nobody.
Like, I think it's really important to go to your
Why would you assume I'm from Boston? Like, why Seattle? Like, well, that would be rather random.
There could be like 5 people here. You could have a little reunion.
Yeah, and maybe from a block of time, like from the whole 4 years that you were there or something, different graduating classes. Like, there could be a lot of people and you could meet.
There's somebody in Idaho.
Yeah,
we should. You know what we should do? We should get a wheelchair, and then we should put like a laptop in it, and then just have your face via Skype, and then we could just they could roll you around at the next reunion if you can't afford to go. That'd be pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, you can totally do that.
You could be like a robot.
I tried to Skype it, but they didn't have Wi-Fi at the place.
Oh. Ooh, how poor was your school?
Well, it was at a restaurant they went to.
But that's the sort of thing, like, people that are planning their high school reunions now, you know, you want them to get better and better. Like, I helped out with mine a little bit.
We only had 55 people in our graduating class. Okay. And I think they maybe had 18 people show up at the reunion.
And that's good, because only 20% of the people usually come.
And here's a... I mean, I don't think anyone's a listener that isn't on my friends list that I don't interact with, but part of it, like, it used to be the reunion was like the 10 one.
Yeah,
I hadn't talked to these people or seen them barely.
Yeah,
that was, yeah.
Now I have there's 3 on Facebook that I
three
or burping, one of the two. Happened at my wedding too. He's choked up. Oh, he got a gas. It was 3 that I interact with on Facebook regularly, and part of me is like, I don't really need to see the rest.
Right,
I could just
Facebook kills the reunion. So
I just fly out to see them if I would.
It was interesting.
I went to my 10-year, and you don't get too many new experiences as you get older. When you're a kid, everything is new, and you get those cool feelings. I didn't get any cool feelings at my 10-year reunion, but I did see all these faces that maybe I hadn't even seen since middle school and we had class. You see these people every day, all day. Even if you don't talk to them in high school, you know who they are. And and then to not think about them for 10 years and go on and do other things. And then all of a sudden there's different people are right in front of you. It's just really cool. And to see how people have grown up or
Facebook
maybe not
ruined
grown
it,
up,
though.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you can see who's fat now and who's
a
level 3.
Who's fat, though.
Yeah, or who's a level 3 sex offender now. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, because yeah. You missed the joy.
I'm totally kidding.
I remember.
What kind of circles is Ashley running?
I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna say the real person's name, but so let me say the name was Paula.
Oh, it was Erica?
No. Paula. But when I went to my 10 reunion and I ran into Paula, I was holy crap, it looks like Paula ate another Paula. I said, I was like, what?
You didn't say that, though.
No, but I was just I didn't recognize who it was at first. And I was like, whoa, that's changed. But then there was there's one guy.
Here's a gym membership, Paula.
I remember Craig Powell. He was this kind of short, little chubby guy. Yeah. Also school, they had nicknamed
him. Yeah, exactly.
No. And then,
he's skinny now.
And then all of a sudden, saw him at the 10-year. He had grown, he was taller than almost everybody. Wow. Nice-looking guy.
I have another 10-year story.
Whoa.
This is great. So many stories. Somebody that I worked with in L.A. who is another alum of my college, she did a thing, and they were pitching it to MTV at one point, but she made, a 40-minute documentary, and she on her high school reunion, and she hired a stripper to go in her place as, her.
That is awesome.
And she kind of looked like her, but she, she went around, and she, the girl that I knew was telling the stripper what to say. She had an earpiece in her ear, and telling her what to say, and she was, in a room upstairs in the hotel, and, I can't remember what it's called right now, but
that is awesome.
But yeah,
that would be a great movie.
I think it started off really well, and then people started to get pissed off, and then she gave a married guy a lap dance. And
this is real though.
It's out there somewhere.
This would be a great movie.
It would be.
I'll look it up. It's Andrea Wachner.
What
is her? Is the girl?
You should get the rights to this and make a movie out of it.
Now, are you one of the writers for Look Up in the Sky?
Not. I might at some point if we continue. But I've helped with story like things.
Who's writing it?
Our first season writer is a guy named Jared Battaglia, who is in LA. And our last episode was written by a woman named Georgia Manides, who is also in LA.
Oh,
well,
yeah. What? Why do you hate local talent?
No, I don't. It just kind of worked out. I'm working with some. I'm hopefully getting somebody from Seattleite to write the next.
Can I send you a spec script?
Totally, would love it.
A spec script, but yeah. Well, since I don't know what the story is, can't really write a spec script.
Watch it, and then but write anything, and I'll make it work.
I can send you a script.
Yeah, I'd love it.
I have a... Because I'm working on a web series.
Oh, and I get yelled at every time I try to get in a movie. Psst, this guy.
Oh, like you aren't... The show's not over. I'm sure you're going to suggest the black man.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be like, if you need a black man.
You're going to bring up notice a very Caucasian cast here. What's going on?
You need somebody who speaks proper English and...
Or like someone who's like ethnically diverse. Like you can't tell what nationality they are. That way, you put them out there and they're like, we've got him covered. They're like,
gosh.
People will go like, oh, it's nice to see this Indian in this movie. Like, so, oh, it's really nice to see a Latino in it.
There is a lot to be said for, I just watched something on CNN like the other night about stereotypes in Hollywood, and somebody that's from one part of the world like is playing somebody that's from a different part of the world.
Yeah.
And him as an actor, his perspective was really interesting because he is an actor, so he is playing a role. But you can't really afford to like piss off your audience if you're doing the work that you want to do. So it is work, you know? I mean, I could play a man. I don't know.
Well, what's her name? But, what's her name? Just
Hillary
did that.
Swank did it.
Who just played Bob Dylan in the movie?
Mm-hmm. Kate Blanchett, right?
Kate Blanchett. Oh. Yeah, like she played that. So
and I mean, the sky. There's no limit. The sky's the limit, right? Right. The sky. Mm-hmm. I'm just
look up at the sky. The sky's the limit.
Plug.
You can plug.
I like to work with positive people, and I like to laugh a lot. So
definitely.
You guys are in totally.
Sweet.
Black and a half.
That would be bad.
Yeah,
that'd
be kind of gross. That'd be like me sleeping with you.
That'd be a different web
black
series.
Black and a half. That, that's a little too much. Capitol Hill. First,
Okay, so do you write, though?
I do. I used to write a lot when I was younger, but I haven't written in a long time. And it has to be right when I do decide to write, I think.
It's got
to
be right when you decide to write?
Yeah.
When do you... I mean, so this project, you're producing it for the acting realm, not for because you want to...
Yep.
I mean, is the content yours then? No?
What do you mean?
Do you own it?
Yeah.
So you can sell it?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not the right... Because I mean, it seems like there's a lot of... Here's the problem I've had with filmmaking up here. Like, I was in this 48-hour film festival one
up
year.
Up here?
Yeah.
What year?
Like 1987.
5 years ago or something?
Because I did it. Well, I've done it the past couple of years, and I did it in the past two. Wow.
So I had auditioned. They were looking for just a group of actors that they could pull in and use it in whatever way. And so then they said they didn't have a main role for me. They wanted me to be an extra. The woman had ended up bringing her husband in, who never acted before. Because he looked like she imagined when they wrote the script.
Well, who were you working with?
Okay, but here's the thing. At the time, I'm 15 years in now, acting.
Yeah.
Like, I can be whomever. Like, I'm an actor. Like, that's what I am. Like, you're hiring someone who doesn't know how to act to, like, be in the show because they look like... And I found that to be very... to happen somewhat in plays... but more often in film to where I hear people say, well, they just looked the part, and so it was great. I was like, that's not how you're so – I understand you're a visual – it's a visual medium, but I feel like you need to be open enough to read – yeah.
Like, I think the scope of Seattle film has changed dramatically in the last 5 years, and the 48-hour film fest in particular has changed, and there are new 48 and 72 and 24-hour film races that have come in. So you, like – yeah, I feel the same way sometimes when I'm like...
I know Hollywood does it too, right? Yeah. They decide, this person needs to be blonde and they need to look like this.
But you also want to be like working with people you're comfortable with in order to get the right thing, but like...
My thought was hire a bunch of actors and write part. You're writing it. You can write the parts for them. Like, you don't need to...
Right. Oh, totally.
And then Asa didn't like, well, I'm going to do the 48-hour this year. I'm going to produce one. And I was talking to a guy, Kenny Davis, locally. Mm-hmm. He's going to be involved with me in it. I don't like those festivals when they say, like, you have to use a stapler. A stapler, and then they have a person's name, and it's a genre. Oh. And all they do is, like, they have a scene, and they go, and they have the stapler in it, and they put it to the side. I was like, that's not not the spirit of it. The spirit of it should be... Yeah, the spirit of it should be like the stapler should be a pivotal plot point suddenly.
Right.
Instead of just
the
genre. We didn't even follow the genre correctly.
Yeah.
Like they
deep thinking versus
they said horror was the genre we got.
Yeah. What they said was horrors.
Horrors.
you know what we did? We did a thriller.
Yeah.
We didn't do horror.
Okay.
We did a thriller. And they're like, well, it's kind of horror because it's I was sitting there because I didn't know them. I'm thinking, no, it's not.
Yeah,
I'll eat my craft services today. That's all we're doing. And my back was to the whole thing. And then they tried to get me to come to the... I never got my face on camera. I'm like, I was the guy, the back shot or whatever the whole time. So
really?
They were like, are you going to come? I'm like, no, I don't need to go to the film. Turned out, that's when I found out it's really a popularity contest.
It totally is.
When they judge at the end, it's...
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, but when they do the judging on the best film, it's basically audience voting, so
whoever
brings the most is going to win. It's like a comedy competition.
It is a great thing, though, for a filmmaker who is working on multiple projects and to be, like, sending their shorts to festivals, and if you're doing a 48-hour and you win an award, like, it's another thing to add to the resume. I think sometimes people steer clear of 48 hours, I said this earlier, I think we lost that, but like, it depends on where you're at in your career and in your life and in your, like, wherever you're at in any given moment. But I thought I would never do a 48 or a 72 or a 24 ever again, and I did all of them, and I was happy with doing them.
Now, why didn't you want to do it again?
Because I thought that there was a little bit of stigma to them, and I thought that they never come together quite the way you expect them to come together. And
well, it's 48 hours. I mean,
exactly.
Can't really expect.
But then I worked with Team Awesome, who is awesome, and we did a 48, and they were just so great, you know, and like the quality of films like in Seattle has really like gotten really good, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so to see this, and the turnover for 48 is so fast. That's the best thing. Essentially, you do want the turnover to be fast, but you also want the work to be seen regularly as well.
Right.
But 48s are really fun. They can be really fun. And the Grand Cinema has a 72-hour that goes really...
Really? I need to look into that.
Yeah.
I just like I also like the challenge idea of it, of just this race. It's like a top chef, but like...
Yeah.
Top filmmaker.
Well, you should talk to Jeremy Kapner, because he only does shorts for, festivals. Shorts in a given amount of time. There's a 100-hour film challenge out there, I think. There's a 21-day film race.
And,
there's a lot.
The 48, it's just the impossibility of it and seeing what you create in the art.
Totally.
In the art of a... Because you got to do something artful because you don't have the budget or the time to do something expensive, you know.
I did in, 2006 or 2007, we did the National Film Challenge when I was up here and with Brian Sutherland, who is an actor in Portland right now, and ours turned out to be, a modern-day Alice in Wonderland with a guy as the Alice, basically. I don't know what happened to it, but that's what happens with this kind of film.
Right. Do you do a lot of projects that, even longer films, that just don't go anywhere? That you never end up seeing
them? I try not to have a project go nowhere anymore.
But if you're acting, if you're just an actor, though, you have no real...
I would still take it to a festival if I liked it, or I'd screen it. I have a trailer for a feature that I did.
But I mean that where the editing never got finished, and then it just...
I would still get somebody... on it, I guess, you know, to finish it.
Okay. No, I'm saying but in your past, have you done many things where that, as an actor, that they didn't end up finishing the project?
Because
I had met a number of people up here. I mean, again, this was years ago, that they had been in so many things that they had shot that never got finished or whatever.
I guess it does happen. I just kind of forgot about them because I have, because the more you do those, the more you learn, and the more you don't want to do those again, and you want to get things done, I think.
Why don't we have more of a big, film industry up here? I heard it's, kind of hard. There's, regulations. There's, costs.
It's the tax incentives. They don't have the tax incentives to do here that they have in Vancouver, Canada, and
that sucks,
California.
Because there's so many great locations in Seattle, and it really is, Canada has more contracts, and...
Yeah.
than we do.
I was looking right from it, like I was looking for my office like on Friday, and I was like, this would make a great Gotham City if
right.
they ever wanted to.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, totally.
But
really
will they
would.
Ever? I don't know.
I know, and I think the more people shoot and the higher quality the films get up here, mm-hmm. the more people will kind of start to take a little bit more notice, hopefully.
They did a little bit of Mission yeah. Impossible up
yeah.
here. So.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. Portland has a growing film community down there. Yeah. They shoot a couple things and then...
I think it's part... I mean, I think there probably has to be some homegrown stuff that has to... People, for some reason, insist that it has to be shot here or do it.
Right.
And that's the only way it's
yeah.
going to really...
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, because there's a practicality of rain. Like, yeah. it's just so much easier in L.A. Everything's
yeah.
already there.
True.
It, you know, the weather's dependable here.
Yeah,
it's going to be.
It's really true.
What was that movie? Was it Chronicle? Did you guys see that?
Yeah. But
was that shot here?
It was set here, but shot in South Africa.
Ain't that a bitch?
Here's one thing I was telling somebody. It was like, I really feel like, you know, in the dot-com boom, we got a lot of warehouses built, like in the Mukilteo area.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are empty still.
Yeah.
And there's things going in there, like gymnastic studios
mm-hmm.
or paintball.
No.
If one of those was turned into a soundstage and,
awesome.
I mean,
yeah.
start shooting, you know, the three-camera sitcoms in
yeah.
there. If somebody just, that's what I would love to write
yeah.
and be a part of, is developing a three-camera sitcom that's, you know, shot
totally.
In Seattle and being regularly
how
done up there.
How much money would that take to create the soundstage?
How much money in your savings account? That's exactly how much it would. No,
yeah,
I mean,
like
but it's a,
$5
it's a,
million?
It's a rental. No, it's a rental
it
for
on
a
what you want
month,
to do,
no.
you
know, and how
yeah.
much, and it's how much
I
the set's going
to
be.
I would love to have a soundstage.
No.
And we, like, I've talked to a couple different groups of people over the years, like, about doing it, and somebody just opened a photography studio in Tacoma that's, like, 5,000 square feet, but, like, again, it's
and who knows? It's maybe you. Maybe it's a working out with the person who owns
yeah.
the warehouse. Like, look, we're gonna shoot the
yeah.
series.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get 10% of it, or
yeah.
whatever you know, what comes from it. Making a deal so that you can get a really low cost rent
yeah.
on it. You know, down the scale, it's about making a deal and finding someone who believes in the idea of creating
right.
something. But I think films are great, but I don't think Hollywood will never come to Seattle because there's so many other choices.
Right.
So why not play a strength? If we have the talent, do stuff that we can shoot indoors.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's going
to
be.
Totally agree. Do you want me to pitch you a television series right now?
Sure.
I did a short film called Desert and Suicide.
It's going out to like 400 people. So, you know.
Awesome.
Okay.
Hopefully one of them.
Or a million.
Or
anybody,
a million.
Wait, I just copyright.
Well, I have like my... I mean, you always want to have scripts in your back pocket.
Yeah.
And I did a short film that's played in a couple of festivals. It's actually screening March 9th for part of an event by Thurston County Public Television, I guess.
Nice.
So that should be fun. But this particular comedy is like Dan Duarte is in it. That's why I mentioned him earlier.
Nice.
And it's about blind dates. So it's kind of relatable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comedy about blind dates. But... I don't know. I think that people go on blind dates or people do internet dating or people like that sort of meeting people. Like,
yeah.
he's just not that into you. I liked that movie. Like,
yeah.
it worked. And, like, to do that in, like, a television form would be kind of cool.
So would
I
that
think.
Be one of your top five?
Yeah, that would be one of... Oh, no.
Desert Island.
No, okay.
No, it's not one of my Desert Island
Your Desert
movies,
Island.
But did we already talk about it?
No, we didn't
get
back to it.
Not
let's talk about Desert Island movies.
Yes.
Am I starting?
Wait, but the pitch. Did you pitch the series?
I don't know. Oh, it's no...
Is that your phone? thanks for not turning it off.
We don't have to turn it off.
No, it's on silent.
Yeah.
But it's,
that's not silent. When it makes a noise, that's not...
That's why she is a successful actress, is because people
silent.
Are hitting her up on her phone. As
people
were
like,
you.
No, I just bumped it.
Oh, it's on silent. What?
Desert Island movies. Let's go to Desert Island movies.
Yes.
Wait, are I going to pitch your series?
No, we'll do that later.
Well, okay, let's have you start it off first, Silas.
How did she control this suddenly?
Well,
she's in charge. Like, no, we're going to do this later. Like, we should do this while it's still recording.
Your top five.
My top five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
American Beauty.
Okay.
The Color Purple.
Oh, shit.
The Ref.
Wait, The Ref.
The Ref. Dennis Leary. Dennis Leary, Kevin Spacey. I forget the woman in it.
Shit. I don't think I've seen that.
It's a Christmas. It's a Christmas movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's no. He is a he's a burglar who's trying to steal some diamonds, and he sets off an alarm, and so the cops start looking, and he jumps into a car of a couple coming back from marriage counseling.
Oh,
a real hostile
that
couple,
amazing.
And he ends up going back to their. They go back to their house where they're about to. All the family's about to.
Oh, and then
there.
They put him in there in the basement, right? Or
he's got them upstairs tied up, and he's like pretends to be that he is the marriage counselor, Dr. Wong, which he's white, you know, so it's fun. And then, and so he's like, yes. And then, but he's just this Boston guy.
Oh, okay.
And he's pissed off, and really, he's like, these people are treating each other horribly. And, so he's the ref of the thing. It's a, it's one of the funniest movies I think I've ever.
All right.
You're gonna put my movies to shame.
I love that. Huh?
You're gonna put my,
I'm gonna have the worst movies.
No, but then like,
you did good picking out the intelligent movies. Oh my gosh.
It's a Wonderful Life. It's one of my, just has this moment in it that I just, I never forget.
No, it's good. I like it.
I saw it. I watched it again this year.
And,
I actually watched it on the big screen.
See, and it's weird. It's like, I don't want to be depressed all the time and stuff, but then Glory, just there's just a couple scenes in that movie.
Oh, Morgan Freeman and Denzel.
That
I just the good actor,
incredible.
Man, I don't think I've seen that one.
That's why I feel like there should be my Desert Island comedies and my Desert Island. You know,
exactly. It's hard to
Cause,
pick
because Glory's a comedy. That's right.
Depend on who you are.
Are you drawn more to the acting or the cinematography or the story or what are you drawn?
Certainly
to?
The acting. Yeah, is what it's the moments. I think I always. I've made this realization over the last couple of years on that I like TV. I like television more than films for a long time. Before a lot of television, I think in the last few years has had a huge upsurge in having great shows go on.
Yeah.
Because I think TV used to look at people used to look at TV as like, oh, that's TV. It's not like a movie. It's not that good. Mm-hmm. There's very few dramas that went on, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer is my favorite all-time television show. I freaking loved that show
a lot of people
so
do.
Much and it's the storytelling of it. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it's a different setting, and you can't do storytelling in a film the way you can in TV because you have years to grow people. Mm-hmm. You have, there's so much you can do. TV is a storytelling element, which ultimately is why I think Star Trek is not good on there's some good movies, but it's made for television.
Yeah.
It's a storytelling about discovering what it's like to be human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't get that in the movies. In the movies, it's an action movie.
TV is like that girlfriend that just like treats you so great for so many years, and then she's like, you know what? I'm out. Fuck you.
Oh, and that's, well, it's, you know what? It's true, because a lot of people get upset about the way series end because it doesn't end the way they wanted it to.
True.
Which. Yeah. Is the same way marriage ends, because things are not going the way you wanted
to. I was like, ooh, shit. Entirely.
You gotta understand, he's on the second marriage, so that's why that was where that analogy came
from. I'm about the human experience. But
I
people,
am too.
Did you watch Lost?
A little bit.
I did.
People got so angry at Lost the last season,
yeah.
too. Like, they were like, because they were so mad at the series finale, where I say it is the best series finale I've ever seen of any series. I think it's summed up the entire series so well.
You probably like Sopranos too.
But it wasn't like what people thought, how they thought it should end, even though they didn't know how.
Yeah. Well.
And Kane Holloway agrees with me, so fuck y'all.
Kane Holloway, that he's on Marriage Number 2 coming up, so I guess you guys have something.
Wait, way to way to negate
again,
our
okay,
love.
So if you want to bring it back to Mike,
we're both marrying blondes too.
Yeah, there you go.
Was his last wife?
Yeah.
A brunette?
Or no, she's blonde.
I'm getting new story ideas right now. that television series I was going to pitch to you, Dessert and Suicide. Hello.
There you go.
Relationships. Have your cake.
Dessert.
Eat it
and
too.
And suicide.
Eat it too.
Desert and suicide.
No, dessert.
Dessert?
People confuse it, but it's not a Western or a...
is that your elevator pitch? Dessert, suicide. Come together.
I love your voice.
Are you right? I should just do that.
Awesome. You could get paid a lot of money to do that.
Oh
so
man,
much.
That'd be great. Shit, I need to
get a real. You need to do something.
I need to do something
besides watch movies
and work at the bank. So
well, that's only 8 hours.
Yeah, but sitting in an office all day checking emails just isn't where it's at.
A lot of people are doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
true. You got to pay the bills.
You do. It's not the time at work. It's the time you're spending out of work.
True.
Because there's a lot... Okay,
I like to sleep, though. I'm not...
I know. Before I did comedy and before I had a kid, I mean, I was doing theater, so I was leaving work at 5, going to be a rehearsal at 7, there till 11, and then back. So that was my life.
When you were a kid?
Weekends on the show.
I have that.
What?
When you were what? How old? What? When?
Before I had a kid.
Oh, before you had a kid.
Yeah. No, I didn't have a 40-hour job when I was a kid.
But you do a lot when you're a kid. When you're
in
high school,
yeah.
you're in like school and you're in clubs and you're in plays.
Sports, whatever you're doing.
Dance and I don't know. Parents keep their kids busy.
They do.
Last night we were
debating.
If
I'm ever lucky enough, those assholes are going to be so busy.
So
I'm not even going to see them half the time. I'd be like, all right. Do what you do.
Yeah.
Last night I was debating with somebody. They're talking about I met someone who wants to do her first comedy thing,
mm-hmm.
and she was watching the open mics last night, and she's going to be taking this comedy workshop thing
mm-hmm.
before she gets on, mm-hmm. and they were like, they think it's wrong. You shouldn't take a class. Like you shouldn't have a class to do comedy. Like you can't learn from it. Yeah.
No.
And I was like, I said, no, it's not true. And they're like, no, you have to be on stage. I'm like, no, it's like any other art.
Yeah.
And he said, well, and they say a lot of actors, you know, they debate whether you should have to take a class or not. And I said, well, look at every Academy Award winner in the last, 10 years, and you're going to be hard-pressed to find many who haven't been taking acting classes.
Well, here's my thing.
It helps you.
Here's my thing. If you're taking classes from quality people, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But then if you're taking classes from somebody who barely knows what they're doing in stand-up.
But that's anything. Yeah. How much bad advice do you get in comedy from someone else who... Okay, one comic told
us... How much do I listen to it, though? It was right.
So this new girl, so some other comic who's mm-hmm. another open micer is like, yeah. She was saying how she's going to tell the story about herself with this thing, and he's like, you know, usually you start with stuff that's not personal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no. And he said, what? No, really? And like, I'm like, well, most people start off because they're too scared to talk about themselves.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're already getting personal, you're kind of a step ahead.
Yeah.
It might be harder to learn the structure.
True.
It's easy to learn the structure, I think, if you're just talking about a banana. What's funny about a banana? And write it all down. You could workshop that.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about yourself and your divorce, that's a little harder to find
the punchline.
The best comedy
comes from the darkest places, I think.
Yeah.
Too,
very true.
Know?
So.
Like Bobby Lee. Oh, my God. Like last night. I had never known that some of this, like, I've worked with him, like, the past 3-4 years, but I never knew that the stuff was true.
Uh-huh.
Like, his dad, he has a joke about his dad making fun of him every time his girlfriend, like, a new girlfriend comes to the house.
Oh.
Yeah, so, like, he's like, when Bobby was 3, he ate 2 pieces of dog poo. And I was like, oh, my God. Right, so he really did that, right? And then he said, and it's, like, true, his dad, I guess, would say it in front of, like, the girl.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, the other joke that I didn't think was true, he was like, Bobby, when he was 4, got molested by a retarded neighbor. And it was like, oh, my God.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and she was like...
So dark.
It's so dark, right? And he was talking about, he's like, Bobby looks like a, retarded. And it's just like, oh my God, man. And he was like, Bobby had C's in high school. That's retarded for Asian. And I was like, oh, my God, man. Bobby is like...
Okay.
Bobby's insane. So, anyways, yeah. Dark places for comedy. Yeah. I'm like, shit. Yeah. I mean,
so
I never got molested.
My point was, okay, so we're learning about comedy, going to the open mic, and I get 3 minutes on stage.
Right.
If I go to a class,
mm-hmm.
I'm focused on learning about comedy for an hour.
True.
So, provided it's a good teacher or a good, good experience and I'm focused on it, I think that's more valuable than me going to... than always. I mean, I think you have to get on stage and stuff, but...
Yeah.
If I go and I spend 3 minutes and then the rest of the time I'm outside, whether people are smoking whatever they're smoking or drinking, we're not really working on comedy. We're just talking to each other.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think you can learn so much more from an open mic by sitting there
and watching
everybody
else. That's, again, education. But
I think you need a little bit of all
most,
of it.
Yeah.
You need a little bit of classes, a little bit of going to watch it.
But education's never going to hurt you.
Well,
so I'm like,
Dave Chappelle, like when he was first starting out, he would go there on the weekdays and he would watch the bad acts, right? And then he would go on the weekends to see what people were doing right, So he was learning from that. So I think there's so many different methods to being successful. But I would say acting, of course. I think you do need – because certain people don't know how to act, It's like
– Well, hey, I think there's a lot of comics that would benefit from an acting class. I think just they're learning about their stage presence. They're just not getting it or a delivery.
Yeah.
Well, there's I know there's
or improv.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
One thing, though, is like it's hard with the 3 minutes because I've always felt like I've rushed through all my jokes. Like I'll talk so fast just to try to get out an idea, which is insane. But let's go back to our topic of 5 movies.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Are you
going deep
next?
And then
I'm
yeah.
next.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you go next, because mine are going to sound, like, ridiculous.
Well, we had the same movie, and you would have known this because of the record button.
You don't have to keep bringing it up.
Well, I just thought that we would rub it in your face a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Okay, so my movies are pretty sporadic. Okay, so first one would be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Okay,
great
that's
movie.
Good.
Hook with Robin Williams.
Awesome.
Love that, right? Rufy, Notebook.
Yeah.
Great movie. I don't know why. 51st Dates.
Oh, you totally know why, and you told me.
Yeah,
before,
okay,
and
yeah.
Tell me
that's
again,
right. Okay.
Keep going.
Okay,
51st
I'll say
Dates,
it.
And then
51st
what?
Dates, and let's see what my last one be. Like Roots. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. What would be a good last one? If I was stuck. Something, I don't know. Not Inception. That was good, but Maybe The Matrix.
Yeah.
That was good.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what about The Notebook? Could you love it? And I love that hearing like a guy.
A guy likes The Notebook. Yeah.
I love it.
It's funny.
I love it.
My roommate has a joke about The Notebook and how shitty it is because he's like, if the roles were changed and it was called The Playbook and it was a guy in that role, they'd be like, oh, the guy with the cheating, you know, whatever.
Totally.
But, there's just that passion in that movie that you just see. And it's like, I think it comes at the last part of the movie where they're in the boat, right? You see the swans, and then, you know, just pulls up the boat, and she's like, I waited for, you know, so many years or whatever. And he was like, I wrote you a letter every day. And then he just kisses the shit out of her. That's, like, one of the best scenes. But I think the all-time, and maybe you can agree, best scene is when they're arguing, and he's like, something's missing, and you know it, and, you know, and then they just, that's totally passing right there.
I know. It's honest, and the acting was really good. And it's
exactly. And they dated for a while, right?
And they dated. They were together in real life. Like,
were they together during that film?
Maybe just during that film and after, I think, probably. But
yeah, like, when he was sitting there at the car and he's like, will you just stay with me? You know, and I was like, damn, that is passion for another human being.
And that's like the best. They just said it, too.
Exactly.
You know, they were honest with their portrayals of their characters, I think.
Yeah.
And like Rachel McAdams was really new to the scene and Ryan Gosling, like they're both good looking people. Of course,
everybody
likes to see good looking people on screen.
I know. I was like, damn, if Rachel McAdams only knew.
I think that was the best. The guy that wrote that has written a number of books and all of those books have made it to be movies. And I think that was the best.
I think so, too. You know, it's interesting, though, because I think if any guy ran into that situation of, like, you saw The Vow or you heard about it?
Where
she gets,
I saw
okay, so she's in a lot of movies where she just seems to lose her memory.
Right.
But I think any guy, like, any good guy would have left her and then just tried to get another girlfriend because that would have been the perfect out, wouldn't it?
but it's Channing Tatum.
Yeah, it's Channing Tatum, right?
Like, Channing Tatum, oh my gosh. I just saw 10 Years.
Right.
The other night I rented it. And it was in and out of the theater so quickly, but all the acting was so good. And it was like...
What was the...
It was 10-year reunion.
Oh, okay, okay.
And like, so I definitely recommend going, just grabbing it from Redbox.
Okay.
It was just like, it was very honest. Like,
or Netflix if it's on.
The cast, like Anthony Mackie's in that movie.
Oh, okay.
And like, the cast was awesome.
I saw another movie with Channing Tatum. Side Effects? You heard about that?
Yes, I saw that
too. What did you think about that?
I liked the first half of it.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting. I was like, where's this going?
It was really
like,
interesting.
Yeah. You gotta see it.
You gotta see it. Yeah. But Channing, like, again, that was really good acting in Side Effects. And I just thought that they were building up, like, their story to be focused on one thing. And then it totally changed.
Yeah, it
and,
went
like,
somewhere else. I was like, what?
And I liked the twist, but I would have liked it more if that thing driving the first half of the movie was still really driving the ending.
Exactly. It was interesting. You know what I just noticed? And not to be random, but there's just a roll of toilet paper just sitting
on the table. Is. Like, tissue? Is that our version of tissue?
We ran out of tissue. I was interviewing a headliner the other day.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, different.
Without me.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Different podcast.
Go fuck yourself.
I think you were probably...
How many podcasts do you have?
Upper one. The other one I haven't been doing as much. It was more about me learning from other, more experienced comics. Mm-hmm. And, I wasn't getting booked at the time.
You do care about me.
Huh?
Nothing.
It was me learning, like, I'd have questions because I still have comedy questions and want to get opinions on them. But at the time, because I wasn't, you know, I'm not getting booked much. So I had time, to interview people. And now I get a lot of booking, so I just don't have as much time. So, actually, I got why. Another reason I got the other recorder so that I can sit in a room with them and just record.
You record.
Well, I could just sit and record with them in a green room.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Booked.
What?
I just shot a short film called Booked.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Your five. Give me your five.
My five favorite. Okay, Pelican Brief.
Okay.
And The Notebook.
Yep.
And 13 Going on 30.
Wait. That was the one with
Jennifer Garner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
So maybe I'd take the collection of Alias with me, too.
There you go.
But, and then what's another good one? Gosh, I have... Hang on. Come back to me on... Keep talking. I have to look up.
I was going to say, I might actually even have... I forget if I did actually five, but Star Trek 2 for me.
Wrath of Khan.
That's not just a great Star Trek film. It's like a great just film.
I've never seen it.
Never seen
it. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, that's just...
Because, I mean, I hear you need to watch it for this new one, right?
Nobody even knows who the bad guy is for the new one.
They think it's Khan.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
It's a new series. I think they're
there's
a lot of standalone stuff. Right.
I can't remember my favorite
one. Like, I almost say Star Wars.
Apparently, it's not that great of a movie.
I would almost say like Empire 10. Strikes Back, but I feel like I know it so well. I don't need it at a dessert.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's where I get torn. If I'm in this, if I'm on a desert island, do I want to spend my days laughing?
Yeah, probably.
And will, or would I just get sick of the jokes?
You know, like, what's okay, interesting about that? I think you would need, if you were on a stranded, if you were stranded by yourself on an island and you needed five videos, let's just be real. All right, you kind of probably need comedy.
Yeah.
You might need a porno. You know, I'm just saying, would you not? I mean, if you were alone, you know what I mean? You might want to remember what a woman looked like. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah. What else would you need? Action, probably. So maybe we should.
I need a house. I'm just like, so I'm trying to figure out what I need. Like, would I get tired of the porn?
No, I just
like,
need sci-fi, I mean,
yeah,
anime.
Exactly, right?
I'd pick the longest porn.
Do you watch
porn.
Anime?
I'd pick that Star Wars
porn. I watch anime.
Do you watch
anime?
There's
that Star Wars porn. You could do that one. Star Wars.
What?
Star, is it really?
Yeah.
There's wow.
A, dude, there's a
where
movie.
Did this
every movie.
Go dessert and suicide.
Every movie has a porn made after it.
Oh, okay.
A successful movie.
And you
I
know.
I haven't been looking hard enough.
Have you never watched TV where they
I'm
make
sure.
jokes about it all the time?
Yeah, they make jokes about it. Okay.
I
so
guess so. But
I
they
I
make up those jokes too on TV. No.
So Silas was like, I wonder is that shit real?
I was on, I listened to an NPR report and it was talking about, like, I sort of had this idea for a sketch where I thought, like, it'd be really funny, like, it's Bill Gates and all them discovering, like you find all technology has advanced so that geeks can get porn easier and quicker. That was my sketch. And then I was on NPR and listening,
true.
And they actually talked about the porn industry has actually driven consumer products pricing down because they're the first ones, they decided that they liked Blu-ray the best. They were the ones who decided HD and they could do with this. And
wow.
So when the porn industry adopts a technology, that's when a lot of it starts becoming available. That they decide it's for it. And
here's something interesting.
Yeah.
Not to change topics. But did you, like, I've always heard this, but have you guys heard that the government is like 50 years ahead of us in technology? Like, they're always
that
like.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
totally makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, what we have today, I mean, iPhones, you know, Androids, are like 50 years behind.
Go get a government
That's
job.
That's what I'm saying, right? I'm just like, I would steal
That's
so
who,
much
who
cool shit.
Who told you this?
Like,
I believe
conspiracy
it.
Theory.
I was thinking it. I
believe they're in army technology. I believe they're ahead. I don't
think
they're
cool
that far.
Yeah,
I think we're cool, yeah.
Like, and now everybody has an iPhone.
Exactly. Do you remember, like, in. I remember my dad telling me in 97.
Casino Royale, or one of those Bond movies. That's what I would take. Sorry.
Oh, there you go. Great movie. I like. Which one? The newest one? Or
I don't know.
Okay,
not the
here's what I think of it. It's our U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
But the world, like, in the. If you're in Korea,
mm-hmm.
like South Korea, the good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Your smartphone plan is $20,
mm-hmm.
and it's way faster than any of ours.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember my dad saying this, and, like, it was either 2000 or, like, late 90s. He was like, yeah, people in Japan are, like, watching videos on their phone and movies and stuff, and they're on the train. And I was like, what the fuck? I'd had the first, like, I remember when I had a Nokia, and it had Snake on it, you know? And I was like, this is awesome. But it's like, I wonder, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I do feel like, they said NASA is, like, a huge contributor to, like, our technology. But, I mean, even if it is government-related, maybe eventually they take away all the government-type army stuff. And, you know, that technology will go into our phones eventually.
Right.
I mean, in the next 50 years, I'm excited. Like, I'm interested to see where we are, not only for, like, cures for things, but also with, like, you know, technology.
Just go to Japan, you'll see it all.
Yeah.
Have all the technology, they release it there.
That's
right
true.
Away.
But even like
It'll
when you were
like
talking about Bill Gates.
America.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's
like
cool to think that Bill Gates and stuff, you know, like he said, what, he's only leaving his kids, what, $10 million or something like that?
Yeah.
Only.
He's worth like $66 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like people who are contributing to, like, I mean, his foundation contributes to trying to find a cure for AIDS.
Yeah.
You know, all kind of technology. So, I mean, I feel like there's still good people out there.
There
it's
are.
Like, yeah.
And right here in Seattle.
Exactly,
come on,
right?
Film and television, get your act together.
Get your shit together.
Yeah, bring more films
Don't
to
wait.
Seattle.
Don't wait. I think the mistake the film industry here makes is waiting.
Yeah.
And trying to.
Oh, totally.
And even trying to lure them.
Anybody's mistake is
well,
waiting.
Or trying to lure them. Well, quit trying to lure them. Let's just
do
make
it.
Our own stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And,
which is partly why I created the Northwest Comedy Network.
Yeah, exactly. Northwest Comedy Network. And partly why I created Look Up in the Sky.
There you go.
And if we get more money and do more with Look Up in the Sky, we'll have all of, we'll make up new gadgets.
Exactly.
To use.
There we go.
We'll
be the billionaires.
The
So what do you need to do to get funding? Like, could you use funding to help your show?
Totally. We could always use funding because you always want – the more money you have, the more you can do with a project. And I'm a producer that – I've done a really good job of doing a couple of films on very low budgets. So
what's the biggest
and that's fun too, to be able to, you want, everybody needs to get paid for their work, mm-hmm. essentially, but it depends on if you're doing it more for film festivals and distribution, or if you're doing it for fun, or if you're doing it for a career. Like,
what did you not anticipate going into the series that, like, you would advise somebody to watch out for, because you did not anticipate this problem?
I would just say that the turnover, you want the turnover to be faster. You know, you can shoot an hour-long drama in 8 days on television, and so you really want to have a schedule and stick to it. Like, I would have released more, but at the same time, people only know what's in front of them in any given moment. Mm-hmm. So the longer you wait to release is totally fine too, but you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you want to make sure that you see what's going to come next. Like, kind of, you have to be prepared for the future, definitely. I guess.
Yeah, here's my question. If everything could work out perfect for you the way you want it, for you're 28 years young, and let's see, over the next 10 year span, if everything could go in like sequence how you want it, what would be the perfect outcome?
I'd love to be doing a little bit of television as an actor, mm-hmm. and a little bit of television and a little bit of film, independent and bigger major motion pictures, and mm-hmm. And be able to have a little bit of time to do more outside of that, I guess, you know, so to be really like comfortable and happy and working on a soundstage every day, and mm-hmm. And to be able to do outreach and do other things to help the world, you know, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you want to be as involved as possible, yeah. inside and outside the film world and other worlds.
I definitely want to, you know, it's interesting because you see a lot of those guys like Brad Pitt, and, mm-hmm. you know, these guys that are actually giving back, you know.
Yeah.
It's always cool.
And you think about it, you talk about it, but you mm-hmm. really need to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think, you know, also having all that money that they have
allows
them the opportunity to, you know.
Tremendously, yeah. So you really, like, I think everybody's goal, like, is to make as much money as possible and then do as much with it as possible, I would say.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Exactly.
You don't want to just sit on it. You want to travel. You want to, work. You want to play. You want to mm-hmm. help out a little bit.
You know what we should start doing at the end of the show?
What?
We should start doing that. You remember Inside the Actor Studio, how they always ended on the questions?
Yeah.
Have you listened to our
last?
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. I don't know if, like, we should always do
part of it, I wonder, like, is that a...
It's not
true. Well, it's not trademarked.
No, because here's
cheating?
The thing is...
Is it cheating, taking to someone else's gimmick like that?
Not really, because...
No,
think
you're not. What's his name? What's the host, James?
Lipton.
James Lipton. But it was a questionnaire by somebody else that he was using.
Yeah, we did... When I was in drama in high school, we always, like, did character analysis and, answered all those same questions.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. Before I had even seen Inside the Actor's Studio.
Look at the...
I'm going to get
I was trying
questions.
To get our very... Well, I was asking, like...
I did go to a couple tapings of Inside
the Actor's
Studio.
Did you really?
I saw... Michael J. Fox.
Nice.
And I saw...
Was he able to sit still?
No, he was... It was early... It was quite a few years ago, but, like, early in the early stages of...
It's amazing because now his, now he's pretty much good, right? I mean, he's probably still a little, you know, but...
like, to go through something like that and to be able to keep going through it and to be able to work with other people. And,
exactly.
Like, he's pretty impressive.
Did you see how he told Taylor Swift to stay the fuck away from his son?
No. Yeah. Well, maybe. Huh? I don't know. Who?
Michael J. Fox? Like, Taylor Swift was trying to, like, talk to his son.
Yeah.
And he was like, tell that bitch to stay away or something like that. I was like, wow.
Wait, Michael J. Fox and who else?
And Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, nice.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What do you love?
What do I love?
Yeah.
Oh, are you trying to ask the questions now?
What do I love? What word do I love?
Yeah.
What do you love?
What do I love?
What do you
in
love?
General?
That's not a hard question.
Well, I guess what?
That's
pretty vague, right? Because I mean, you could be like life or.
Those are the questions. I'm rephrasing part of the question.
Oh, okay.
But that's basically it. It's what turns you on.
Because I've got them all right here. I mean.
Yeah, I know them.
Oh, you know them by heart. Okay.
Well, oh gosh. I mean, I don't know what. Depends. Like, the big things, obviously, are family and laughter and spirituality. And the smaller things are, like, pizza and wine and being able to talk to Siri on my iPhone. I mean, I don't do that.
I wish they had a ghetto version of that on, like, Samsung. Like, you talk to Jerome. He's like, what the fuck you want?
They will. real. You should invent that.
I should. See, you'd be rich. Where the fuck are we going?
I'm like, I bet drone. Somebody's doing it right now. That's probably coming out next. And you're going to be like, I recorded that. What day?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that'd be right. Awesome.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Siri's really not really smart. She's really stupid. She's listening what? Right
it's
now.
She's like, you hurt my feelings, Ashley.
I what? Do like it when I say thank you, and she says, just doing my job.
Aw, but see, smart-ass phone.
What turned you off?
Can I ask one? You're going back and forth. I thought we were going to go back and forth. But, never okay. mind. All right, ladies first. You go.
You're making this flow really nice.
I'm sorry. Right? Okay, whatever. I'm just...
You like, kept talking. I had to move on to the question. Relief.
Okay, go for it. Okay. What'd you say?
I said, what turns you off?
Okay.
So what do I not love?
What do
guns.
You hate? Yeah. Awesome.
I don't like guns. I don't know. There's too much violence in the media. Like... There's too many people pointing their guns at me on Facebook and their pictures that don't have anything to do with guns. And, like, there's too much.
This is why I.
Okay, well, why I but every time she answers the question, I feel intrigued to, like, also answer.
Because that's why.
Okay, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. I hate guns. I've never shot a gun in my life. Have you ever shot a gun?
Yes.
Well, fuck you. We don't like you.
Like, I understand, like, people's, like, the people that with guns that I do like are the people that are protecting people and the people that aren't abusing them and right. the people that like are there in those mall shootings when they pull their gun out on the shooter and are like, I have this, and then the shooter backs away. Like, that's the only, like, I don't know. I mean, I know there's a lot of arguments you can start.
Yeah,
and,
I don't want to live in a world where I have to carry a gun to feel safe, you know? Yeah. It's like, Jesus. So, all right, you can go ahead and ask your next question. What turns you on? I don't know.
Is that what I
said? You said, you said what turns her off.
Right before that, I said, what do you love? Which is basically.
Okay, that's
the same
okay.
thing.
This just watered down. All right, I'm sorry. Let's see. What's your favorite curse word?
Gosh, what have I been saying a lot of lately? Well, I grew up in a family that didn't swear at all. I never swore.
Oh, my grandmother always.
At all. And like. And so part of me wants to be like, what? I don't swear. What are you talking about?
You're going
to
say like S word.
But I don't, I'm not a big fan of the S word. But on the when I'm driving on the road and alone in my car, and I do say asshole a lot. I think,
it's a great one.
I don't know, just other drivers kind of piss me off sometimes.
There you go.
I don't have too much road rage, I promise. I'm not like that person. But, yeah.
Yeah, she flipped me off when she was driving here. Let's see. What noise do you love?
Laughter. I think I said that. Yeah. But, like, maybe noise, laughter. Yeah, laughter. There's probably a couple other good... That just every once in a while, that favorite song that comes on the radio or something.
What noise do you hate?
And I do, like, radio voices, too.
Oh, there you go. KWBBL, top of the morning to you.
What noise do I hate? Gosh, see, I need to have these at the top of my head. This is good practice. I don't know.
I hate styrofoam and cardboard.
Yeah?
Dry sounds. Gross.
Yeah. Maybe a really annoying cat. I don't know, because I love my cat, but...
Yeah.
Sometimes she meows a little bit.
Was that you who posted that on Facebook about the cats?
Oh, I told Hannah, like me, her, and Aaron Kirby were talking, and we mentioned something about, like, somehow cat sex had come up, and she's like,
I would hate that sound.
We said, I was like, well, it's horrible, and she's like, why? I'm like, cats are raped. They're never, it's not, they don't make love. They have spikes in their penis, and it latches in, and she's like, she's like, I've never heard. I'm like, you've never heard that. I turned to Aaron, like, ever heard a cat rape? She's like, oh, it's horrible. Yeah. And then, so a few nights ago, she was sitting in her, like, apartment and suddenly heard that.
Yes. That's
cat sex.
I hate that.
Yeah.
And she was I'm listening to cat sex. It's horrible. And I was like, well, wait till you hear it when you're trying to make love. All right. If God exists.
Well, I know. I'm sitting I can reach my microphone. But I don't want my feet to fall asleep because they're doing that. I won't be able to walk out of here.
If God exists, when you arrive at the pearly gates, what do you want to hear him say?
It's okay.
I like that. You missed two questions, though. But, you know, nobody's counting.
What? Say it. Well, one of them was irrelevant because...
What job would you hate to do?
Um...
Other than yours.
Right, because it doesn't apply, because usually they ask actors, and that's all they do.
Yeah.
So, here it's like, you're in a job.
I do do
your day job is a job you don't want to do, right?
I don't know. I'm teaching dance is one of my day jobs.
Oh, that's like, fun.
So, I teach at a couple different studios, and I love to see the progress with my students. Mm-hmm. But I would like to be performing on a stage or working with other choreographers and working on stage more regularly. What job would I hate to do? I don't know. Gosh. I don't know. I think I would love to explore everything, you know, at least for a day.
Yeah.
I think everybody should be able to do something they hate, even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a choir teacher. I don't think I could do that.
That'd be hard. Joyful.
Maybe not. Because teaching kids is a challenge.
Yeah.
It's a big challenge, but it's a really good challenge.
I taught this week. Improv.
I passed. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it. They were horrible.
Yeah, well, they're horrible. Yeah, that's no doubt. But it's the third graders that, for me, I'm like, oh, I got a drink really? After. It's
oh, no, third graders are great in my
so
world.
So tense. Acting? Like, no, I thought about acting.
No, teaching dance.
It's a little, and teaching acting. They're a little more focused.
My third graders we did a couple plays. They were doing
how
really
many,
good job.
Well, yeah, okay, maybe a play would be better because I was just doing classes. Yeah. Substituting them, I'm always like, oh, man.
Third grade's where all the magic dies after. Like, at fourth grade is, I mean, where they're just... They've just become assholes. Like, I mean,
they
you know,
do.
Yeah, they do. They just know everything, yeah. And they're just like, you know.
Yeah.
Before that, I mean, they're fine.
Seventh graders, the new seventh grader in there is like, well, I don't want to, whatever.
I like working with third grade and above because they can learn. But mm-hmm. when they do get that, when those bad attitudes are way worse. But kindergarten through second grade, mm-hmm. they're like all over the place. But their freedom to watch that freedom is mm-hmm. pretty cool too.
And they're gassy too, and they just it stinks. I'm just like, whoa.
High school kids that have been doing it are so interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
High school kids that have not been doing it, they're all like...
There's this kid in this play, like I mentioned earlier, like Tacoma Little Theater is doing complete works of Shakespeare Bridged, and I set their hip-hop Othello, and like there's three actors in this play, and like there's one of their actors is like 16, and I thought he was like 26, and
wow.
he's playing the guitar, and he's like dancing, and he's like doing this 10-minute monologue, and you're like, 16, wow. It's cool. Right. It's impressive, you know?
That's pretty cool.
Like, I don't know.
This kid's going to be something.
Yeah. Okay, so you got a Facebook page? Or
I do.
Fan page?
I have a Facebook fan page, yes. It's actress Ashley Cozine. It's a little long, but...
Was Ashley Cozine taken?
By my regular self. Oh,
okay. Yeah, don't add her on
no,
there.
No, actually, there's an Ashley Cozine. There are a couple of Ashley Cozines out there. One's a funeral director in Kansas. And
oh, that's not you.
Not me.
No.
And there's a couple high schoolers on Facebook now. It's so weird to see high schoolers and middle schoolers on Facebook. It's so wrong, too.
Yeah.
And then the series Look Up at the Sky. Mm-hmm. Look Up in the Sky.
Look Up Seattle on Facebook and Look Up Series on YouTube.
Look Up Series on YouTube.
Yep.
Look Up Seattle. Like
On Facebook.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's Look Up in the
Sky. Do you have a website, too?
VeerWestPictures.com.
Make sure you go there.
Okay.
A lot of too much material. I need just one place to go, right?
No,
that's the
no.
problem with today.
Well, I think you need multiple. Like, I mean, because you never know who's going to, you know.
Who's going to see what? Because exactly. people like Twitter more than Facebook.
And some people aren't on Facebook. Or
you need one website.
LinkedIn. IMDb.
Yeah.
I'm everywhere you want to be.
You need one website. You need one website that has links to your Facebook and your Vimeo
it's
and your
all there.
Blip and everything.
You're on IMDb?
Uh-huh.
God, man, that's what...
It doesn't even say half the stuff you've done, though.
But it's still, that's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Are you on Blip?
Look Up in the Sky is the...
Yeah, awesome.
I think, but I haven't uploaded there because that was a question, you know, is mm-hmm. like, where do I want to distribute this series? Like, because I was going to do YouTube and Blip and, like, because Blip has a really nice format for a lot of...
Maybe
watching a lot
of YouTube.
Serious. So we'll see. Probably as soon as season one gets totally wrapped and out, we'll get up on Blip.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. But we really like are so close to 1,000 views on our first episode of Look Up in the Sky. Like it would be awesome if just a couple more people went and watched.
Yeah.
Okay. Check that out. Episode one. It's a enthralling suspense series. And
thanks so much for having me, you guys.
No, it was awesome.
This was really fun. I think I laughed so hard I almost cried.
Well, now we can all put our pants on.
So. Exactly. Yay.
Really.
Yeah. Mom, I got some splaining to do.
Sorry.
So what's next for you guys? What's your next podcast? Do you have one?
Do we have anything lined up? We should do a one-on-one, me versus you. across the table.
Wait, do you know Kathan Borden by any chance? Or no?
That sounds familiar, but we're going to be interviewing in 2 weeks a power couple here in Seattle. David Hogan and
Why don't you say anything sooner? Oh my gosh, what? Definite power couple.
Are they a power couple?
They are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, power in the film.
I
just shot
two actresses. Two actors, I mean.
Yeah. I shot Booked with David Hogan, and I had heard about him before.
Oh, that's where I knew the film. I had seen it. They just posted it on a film.
Are they going to be here, or are we going to do it Skype?
No, we're going to.
They're
Seattle. No.
It's cool.
And they have a tripod. What is it?
Yep, Mighty Tripod Productions.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're going to come
Here. They'll be involved in something that's in the next season of Look Up or a couple of features that I'm looking at right now.
We got to get her on a sketch or something with us.
As soon as we look forward to not writing the NAACP when we see that you get some colored people look up in the sky to represent the rest of Seattle.
Hey, you know what?
Write them as we get publicity.
What?
You're like, right.